This is the gospel that Peter's about to preach. Ye men of Israel, and it's, who's it to? Israel. Hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands crucified and slain him, who God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now, he's preached, I won't go through the whole message that he preached, but he preached that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he was crucified, and that he was buried and he rose again. That's pretty much the gospel. And go over to verse 42. Well, no, let's start a little higher than that. Now, he had preached a murder. He had preached to these Jews that they had crucified. They were responsible for crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were pricked in their hearts. And they were in a position to repent of what they had thought was right and what now they were changing their minds about who this man Jesus was. Now when they heard this, Peter's message, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, when I was very young, about 8 years old, I got real concerned about going to hell, my salvation, whatever you want to call it from a child's point of view. And I asked that question in a roundabout way. What must I do to be saved? And I got this answer right here. Repent and be baptized. And you will be added to the church, just like these folks here were. And I don't know what day of the week it was, but anyway, I had to go up in front of the church. And the preacher got up in front of me, and he said, Stand up. And I stood up. He said, You're about to give the good confession. I don't know. I didn't know what it was going to be. I'm standing there, and he says, Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes, I do. Patted me on the back and said, We're going to go be baptized. He didn't ask me if Christ had died for my sins. He didn't ask anything about it. You still got churches preaching what Peter preached. And some it'll preach a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So, anyway, just it's a personal thing. I know that that's what I was taught, that right there. It's in the Bible. It's right here in the Bible. What must I do to be saved? Repent and be baptized. Can it be any clearer than that? Repent and be baptized. The death, burial, and resurrection. Believe that He is the Son of God. The person who died and was buried. And by the very fact that He was raised for the death, He must be the Son of God. You believe that. That's all you have to worry about. Just believe that. But there's some more to it. While I was added to the church, I found out later, I could be deleted from the church by the things that I do. Not only the things that I do, but the things that I think. Somebody might find out what I was thinking. Now, it said here, though, that they were added. So, this is Peter preaching. We're going to talk about Paul, but here's Peter before Paul preaching. Look at Acts 3. It's another sermon by Peter. Verse 19, repent ye therefore, he said that in the last sermon, repent. And they were repenting of having crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they were repenting of, not their sins. And be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Just like when I was 8 years old or however old I was, I can't remember exactly. I realized that my sins weren't blotted out. Maybe the ones that I'd done before I was baptized. But after I was baptized, I started a new slate. Those sins weren't blotted out. So, what do you do about that? You worry. Wayne is in his testimony talks about how he went to bed every night worrying. Did I forget to ask about something? So at some point, like, you just give up. You say, well, I can't do this. Is there really a God that would put this on us, put this burden on us? So you begin to question whether you ought to believe in God at all. Because if you believe in Him, you better straighten up. If you believe that gospel message that you heard. So, this is what Peter preaches. He didn't change too much from his previous one. He added a little bit to it. He said, and he shall send Jesus. Oh, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So, I realized, based on what Peter said, your sins are blotted out, but not really. They're just remitted for the time being. And at some point, you're going to stand before God. He's going to, like Barry had always used that description, going to weigh it out. It's the only way you can explain it. Because what about those sins that you forget to confess? He's got to do that. I mean, you can't remember every single sin that you do. And some things you do, you don't know they're a sin. So you've got to have in the back of your mind, he's a good God. He's going to weigh it out. That's not what it said. But, he's going to weigh it out. Give us credit, extra credit for all the good things we do. And give us a debit for the bad things we do. That's what Peter preached. That our sins are not going to be forgiven until the times of refreshing shall come, which is when the second coming of the Lord. That's when they'll be forgiven. That's when the atonement will come. Second coming. Turn to Acts 7. We have Stephen preaching. And if you look at Stephen's message, he's pretty much going over the whole story. And he gets down to verse 51, and he's talking to the Jews, the Israel. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do we. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them that showed before the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. Here is the murder indictment, just like Peter. Who have received the law by disposition of angels and have not kept it. He's really laying it on them. You're responsible for all this. They didn't ask, what must we do to be saved? They didn't like what they heard. A little bit different from that group that Peter preached to, they didn't like this message. They didn't believe it. So they decided they're going to have to do something about him. And they felt that that would be what God would have them do. He's a blasphemer. And they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears up. We don't want to hear this. We don't want to hear this. You know, that's the way people are. You know, people come right in this place right here. Almost, if you could look out there, they'd have hands over their ears. Something about that I don't like. I don't like to hear that. Something. I didn't know, you know, all through prophecy, this gospel that Peter preached, you can find it in the Old Testament. It's there. And they cast Stephen in verse 58, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Y'all know what Saul means in English? Ask of God. This man Saul, I wonder who he was named after. Anybody know Saul in the Old Testament? King Saul. Anyway, this man Saul was there, and they laid their clothes at his feet because they knew he'd take care of them. He was all for it, so he wasn't going to let anything happen to their clothes. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now, we don't really know about Paul right here, other than they laid their clothes Paul's feet while Stephen was being stoned. But Paul tells us a little bit about himself during this time. Look at Acts 22. Acts 22:20. Well, look at 19. And I said, Lord, thou may know I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. He was beaten and putting people in prison. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting unto his death. And kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, before shall I see thee for answer unto the Gentiles. My daddy used to tell me, he said, if you were with a bunch of boys, and they're throwing rocks, breaking out windows, and you standing there consenting to it, and the police drive up, you're going to jail too. You're just as guilty as the rest of them. Paul was just as guilty of murder as the rest of those. And that's the way he saw it. Look at Acts 26. Verse 4. This is what kind of man Paul was. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, and they would testify. And after the most strictest set of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and judge for the hope of the promise made of God unto the fathers, to which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God night and day hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. He was known by the Jews, and they knew he was right in line with what the strict sect of the Pharisees taught. Some of it from the Word of God, some of it by the traditions. But he knew every one of them, and he was right in line with them. Come on down to verse 10, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. Well, verse 9, I verily thought that with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests when they were put to death. I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. This Paul was a mean guy. These guys laid their clothes at his feet. They knew Paul, and they knew he was all for it. And he was doing it based on Scripture. Just like Peter's sermon over here is based on Scripture. What do you do with a blasphemer? You kill him? You stone a blasphemer? Is there biblical Scripture for that? Well, Paul wasn't doing anything wrong. He was doing what the Scripture taught. It's like Peter was doing what the Scripture taught. All that Peter was preaching was all in the Old Testament and prophecy. Peter was just preaching what was right, what he thought was right. And it was right at that point. Paul, he had Scripture. Look at Galatians 1:14. Can't find it. And profited in the Jews. Well, 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how they beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion among many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. And profited in the Jews' religion. That's another, you got some Scripture to back you up, and you got some money to be made. Two good, compelling reasons to do something. You're doing right based on some Scripture in the Bible, and you're making money at it. Philippians 3. Verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day. This is Paul speaking. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of Hebrews, as such in the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But I count all things were gained to me that I count, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. That was his attitude later. But you get a description of what his attitude was here in Acts 7 before that last verse I read. He was blameless. And you know there are people walking in the front doors of church buildings all over the world. And they have in their heart, I've confessed every sin I've done this week. I've been good to my neighbors. I've done this. I've done that. And here I am coming into church on Sunday morning. I'm blameless. Can't hold anything against me. And there are people out there striving to be blameless. Paul was blameless. He had Scripture for what he was doing, and he was making money at it. A lot of preachers make money at what they're doing. They got scripture what they what they're doing. And they're blameless as far as anybody can tell, but look at them. In fact, they go way beyond what the average person does. Look at Acts 8. We'll see Paul again over in Acts 8. Just the next mention of him. And I'm not going to go through the whole book of Acts talking about every time Paul's mentioned, but just wanted to touch on this one. Acts 8. 22-35. It's where it's found. Wait. No, I'm sorry. Going to the next. I had Paul mixed up with Philip. I wanted to look at the, Paul standing there consenting to somebody being stoned, to Philip's death. And the next message we hear is from Philip. And that's over in Acts 8. My mind was about to go blank. I was going to get somebody else to get up here and finish up for me. Acts 8. Anyway, during at the beginning of about verse 22, we see the Ethiopian eunuch. He's in his chariot riding down the road reading the scriptures. And then Philip appears. He goes and sits down with him in his chariot. Verse 32. The place of the scripture which he had read was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shearer, so opened he not his mouth. That's in Jeremiah. You can also find that in Isaiah. He preached the gospel from scripture out of the Old Testament. So we don't need the New Testament, do we? Well, the churches that preach Acts 2, do they need anything else? It was in the Old Testament. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh that the prophet of this? And he's talking about that scripture. Of himself or some other man. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. He didn't go to Acts 2:38. He went from the Old Testament scripture. Didn't have Acts 2:38 to quote. And they went on their way and they came into a certain water. What did Peter say you needed to do? Repent and be. What does the eunuch get out of all this? Some point, Philip told him he needed to be baptized. He said, here's the water you're talking about, Philip. The eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus... Uh-oh, there's that same confession that I made. The same, very same one. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the good confession that I was taught you had to make in order to, before you could be baptized, you had to make this confession. And that's exactly what Philip told him. If you believe, then you can make this confession and even be baptized. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, I've heard arguments that he didn't dunk him. They went down into water, and they stood in the water, and Philip reached down, and he sprinkled him. Or he picked up a cup of water, and he poured it on him. I've heard arguments back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. If you sprinkle, you're not baptized. If you got water poured on you, you're not baptized. You got to be dunked in the water. After all, there was much water. So, he must have been dunked. Jesus is the Son of God. That was the gospel. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. He must be the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Anyway, that's the gospel message. You've heard it in Acts 2. You've heard it in Acts 3. You've heard it in Acts 7. Stephen didn't quite get through with all his, but Acts 7. Here we hear, see it in Acts 8. Jesus is the Son of God. That's the message. The gospel of God. And then over in Acts 9, I'm not going to go through the whole story, but we know that Paul is going about slaughtering people and beating and threatening people. He's still at his old job. Yes, ma'am.
Those people doing the argument about baptism, if they read 39, he will explain it. It says, and when they came up out of the water.
That's one of the arguments right there, Gene. That's right.
Wasn't there?
Sure wasn't.
Water.
You don't come out of sprinkling.
And you did get wet, so.
Got wet. And they had to get in. His sins were washed away. All those in the past, those in the future, no. And anyway, in the Acts 9, we see Paul. He's on the way to persecute folks. That was his job. And we know a great light shone down around about him. And he was headed to Damascus. Let me see where I want to pick up here. Anyway, the great light shone around him, about verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street that's called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he sent him to Ananias, and Ananias in verse 12, and has seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. When Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said to him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel, and he to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. And look down at verse 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Same gospel that I believed. The same very one. This man, Saul, the man that's asked of God. He stayed a few days in Jerusalem and he goes out and he starts preaching. And he preaches Jesus is the Son of God. Look at Acts 11. Verse 25. Here we see Paul mentioned again, and it's just a mention. Then departed Barnabas to Saul. He wasn't mentioned until from 9 to 11. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Paul. Paul was in Tarsus. Look at 29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto Jerusalem, which dwelt Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So Paul's out doing the work of the church. He's preaching in the synagogues, and he's ministering to the needy. We don't see him in Acts 10 through 12, except he's mentioned in 11. And then we come to chapter 13, verse 9. Well, look at verse 2. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Paul had already found out he was to be a minister to the Gentiles. He was a preacher to the Gentiles. But the first message we see him preaching is preaching the Son of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Something's happening because it says right here that he's been separated with Barnabas to go out and do the work for which he'd been called. And come on down to verse 9. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Here's this man that was asked of God. He's called Paul. First time. Now, do you know what Paul means in English? Small. I think that's interesting. He's small. From the ask of God, blameless, to small. Small Paul. And it's just, it happens right here in Acts 13. Acts 13. He goes and he starts preaching, just like Philip was preaching, and just like Peter was preaching. He's telling the whole story. He's preaching to some Jews. And he's got a few Gentiles mixed in there with him. It's the first, you know, he's been going to the synagogues. He hadn't been going to any Gentiles. But in this chapter, he's speaking to others besides just Jews. He's speaking to those that are that are connected with Israel. Those that fear God. Okay, and we're gonna come over here to verse 16. It says, then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand, he said, "Men of Israel." That's one group. "And ye that fear God, give audience." Those are the Gentiles that are in there with them. And I won't go through the whole thing, but he preaches the history of Israel, just like Philip and Peter and had done. Verse 23, it says, "This man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior. Men and brethren, children," in verse 26, "men and brethren, children, the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of salvation sent." Then over in verse 38, it said, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." The first time you hear about it, sins. Peter, two messages we talked about, Philip, Stephen, you don't hear anything about forgiveness of sins. And it's kind of interesting to me that about the time that Paul's name changed, just after that, he preaches that Jesus Christ died for our sins. You know, when I understood that, I saw how ridiculous believing another gospel was. Believe in the gospel that Peter preached. Peter never preached that Christ died for our sins. Paul preached it. Saul. And then Paul. The small man Paul. He had been a great man. He was so proud of himself. But he became small. He was blinded. And then he saw the light. Through revelations, he received what he received. Paul preached the death, the burial, the resurrection. That means he was preaching the same thing Peter and Philip preached. But he also added one thing to it. Died for our sins. And you're justified. What did Peter say? you're gonna get remission of sins, but it's gonna be the second coming before they're blotted out. Christ died for our sins. All of them. Now that's another study. I mean, I can prove what I'm saying. He died for all of our sins. But I want to go on to another topic here. 1 Corinthians 17. 1. 1 Corinthians 1. I had you going there for a minute, didn't I, William?
We can't go to heaven.
Now, Paul's attitude, you have to believe his attitude changed a whole lot. Here's this man that was perfect. He was doing what God would have him do. He was zealous. And chapter 1, verse 17 says, For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, he went out preaching that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He must have had some information about baptism, but he says, that's not what Christ sent me to do. Because he was preaching the same message that Philip was preaching. It went to much water, or a little bit of water, however it was. But anyway, he said, he didn't send me to baptize. I'm not a part of that. I'm not a part of that program. It changed. Not with wisdom of words. This man was a smart aleck. He was a smart aleck. He was perfect, blameless. He was a Pharisee. And now he's saying, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect. And he's just like us. We can get in the way of the cross by what we think of ourselves. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God.
Amen.
It's the only power there is. You know, in a system like Paul was in, the power is in what you think you can do. To do what you think is going to make you perfect. And Paul said, I have done all that's required to make one perfect. He was blameless as to the law. He made his sacrifices. He was blameless. Look at verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But of them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. But the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things. You know, the base of something is small. It's the first part of something. The base of something. Paul, he's talking like somebody small. He's not the great man anymore. And that's very interesting to me. He goes from this person that's a braggart, haughty, killing people or consenting to killing people, to a man who talks about the base things. Something changed. Something changed. The things which are despised hath God chosen. Things that are not, to bring naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Now, Paul had been in his presence. That light shone down. And he had been glorying in what he had been doing. Glorying. He had scripture for it. He was blameless. And now he's... But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, of whom God made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. that according as it written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And you know, Paul didn't go about trying to prove he was right after that about the about being a Pharisee. He wasn't a Pharisee anymore. And he's down in verse two of chapter 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all you need to know. But he had spent all kind of time learning what the Scriptures had in them. Learning not only what was in the Scriptures and in the law, he had to find out what all the traditions were of the Pharisee sect. He went to school to find out about all that. And now he's saying, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear. It's a small man. And in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And the power of God is the gospel.
Amen.
That's what the gospel is. He just told us that. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, ye not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He's speaking something in this simple gospel message that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died, he was buried, and he rose again from the dead. He was preaching something that had power. That knowledge of that, those words have power to save us. It's not anything we can do. It's not based on how many Jews we imprison. It's not based on our works, not what we do. First Corinthians 3. And I'm going to stop here. Look at verse 18. Let not man deceive himself. Any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. The wise, that's what Paul was. He was a wise guy when he was out persecuting the Christians or the church. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world of life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. I wanted to stop right there. Paul preached a simple gospel that Christ died for your sins. He built on the gospel of God, which is that Christ died on the cross, He was buried, and He rose again, and He died for all of your sins. Paul said in the first message that we see where he's preached the gospel, which is that Christ died for your sins, says you're justified. And in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it's the same gospel we hear in 1 Corinthians 15, that it's the same gospel being preached there that Christ died for your sins. Right there, that's what Paul received. That's what gospel he's talking about. And you can believe it today. If you're on the internet or you're here in this room, you can believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and trust in that. Don't trust on your own as Paul was doing. Just trusting in what he was doing. He found out different. All that he was interested in was the preaching of the cross, that Christ died for your sins. Believe that. And today you can be saved, have eternal life.